Hi, my name is Erin Tillman. I'm a dating empowerment coach, speaker, and author known as the Dating Advice Girl. For over 10 years, I've been empowering and coaching singles by helping them improve their social skills, communication skills, and get clear on their dating goals and objectives. Relationships are not one size fits all, but basic consent and respect are important parts of the dating process in order to have an exciting and meaningful connection with others. Listen, learn, and laugh with me on this journey of sex-positive self-discovery. Thanks for listening. Okay, so we're back with another episode of the Dating Advice Girl podcast, and I'm here with Ashley Manta, who is, her brand is called Cannasexual. Cannabis and sexual, I think that's the words combined. We're going to find out more, but we're here with two of her friends as well, and they also are in the realm, their friends, my friends, all the friends, and we're going to be talking about intimacy and cannabis and all the things around intimacy and cannabis. It's going to be great. And I was just saying before we started recording that this is a subject I actually don't know a lot about. There's certain subjects and certain interviews where I'm like, oh my God, I know so many things, or I know some things about it. I really don't know, I know minuscule amounts about the subject. So I'm very, very excited about it. So let's introduce Ashley first. Here we go. She's done so many things, so I'm going to condense her bio, but you'll see the full bio when you click on the episode. But here we go. Ashley Manta has become a sought-after authority on mindfully combining sex and cannabis as part of her Cannasexual brand. As a professional sex and a relationship coach, she helps people navigate these topics to make sure they are interacting, loving, and feeling their best in and out of the bedroom. She has appeared on the cover of Sexual Health Magazine in January 2019. Congrats, by the way.
Thank you
so
much.
That was awesome. I was like, oh my God, it's amazing. Along with the designation America's High Priestess of Pleasure, which is also an amazing title. So great. She recently completed her certification as a body sex facilitator after studying with legendary pleasure pioneer Betty Dodson. And she is a brand ambassador for Sibian, Foria, and Slickwid. Everything she's been in, Forbes magazine, London Times, Newsweek, Huffington Post. You can see her entire media page because there's a lot more things. She was in Viceland TV, Stone Sex. I remember that. That was great. Amazing. So many things. She also, in terms of credential, a bachelor's degree in philosophy with a minor in women's studies, and has completed graduate coursework for a master in arts in philosophy, certified and attuned Reiki 2 practitioner, consulting hypnotist, and trauma-trained victim advocate. Welcome, Ashley.
Thank you so much for having me, Erin.
Ashley, okay, so let's introduce our friends. Our friends, your friends as well. Please introduce yourself to
everybody. My name's Courtney, and I created Intimate Health Yoga. So what is that? I combine sexual health education with yoga so people can experience more pleasure in life. So I host retreats. I did a retreat last year with Ashley, the Punani Power Yoga Retreat for Women, and it was so much fun.
Yes.
But we do, yeah, yoga specific for experiencing pleasure and using those muscles to get what you want in life.
Amazing. There's so much, in addition to cannabis, there's so much about the female body that we don't know. I feel like, you know, we're talking about where we're from. I grew up in small town Ohio. I feel like there's so much you don't learn in sex ed, so much still at this age, in my 40s, that I don't know about my own anatomy, and it's really unfortunate because there's so much we could use it for in terms of healing, in terms of power, all the things. Anything, we're going to get to it. Okay, and next, Hallie, please tell us about you.
I am Hallie, also Halcyone, and I just launched the Relationship Rejuvenation Retreat, which is a free online summit. We're going to start a free replay tomorrow, so you can watch all like 20 videos starting tomorrow, which is really awesome. It's all about relationships, intimacy, trust, connection. It's a really good time. Lots of fabulous experts, including Kamala Devi. And I would have interviewed you, but you were writing a book.
I was writing a book.
We're super stoked she was writing a book. I'm a relationship and intimacy coach, and I'm so excited to be a part of this. I'm going to learn a lot today because this is not my area of expertise either.
I love it. No, this is so great. I like a happy accident / serendipitous meeting of people, and this is kind of what this is. I would like, because Ashley and I did plan on doing this interview, It's going to be heavily Ashley focused, but I like a group dynamic, and I'm like, this is a really great group. So let's jump in. Here we go. So we talked about it a little bit in your bio, but what does it mean to mindfully combine sex and cannabis? What the heck, Ashley, does this mean? tell my audience, just so you know too, I should tell you that my audience doesn't necessarily know everything. They know some things, but so explain it all in the most basic way so that everyone gets it, if you can.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you asked. Thank you for having me. This is amazing.
Of course.
And thank you to you two amazing humans for being here with us. So canisexual is a word that I made up and then trademarked, and it refers to anyone who mindfully and deliberately combines sex and cannabis to deepen intimacy and enhance pleasure, whether solo or partnered. And why did I choose the word mindfully? Mm. It's because I really understand that people have been combining sex and cannabis since long before I was born. This is not new. I did not make this up by any stretch of the imagination. People have been doing this for literally thousands of years. And I like to think that what I bring to the table as a sex educator and a sex and relationship coach is a sense of doing it very intentionally. That mm-hmm. whatever you're choosing to do, you're doing it on purpose. You're not just reaching for whatever you happen to have in your stash box and like hoping for the best.
Right.
It's not mystery edibles and mystery joints. It's very clear choices with specific objectives in mind.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to bring kind of a best practices approach to combining sex and cannabis so that you have optimal outcomes.
Yes. And no, I think that's amazing. And I feel like we're in a time now where so many things are, there's like a resurgence or a surgence to, that's not a word, it doesn't matter, to intentional interactions. Because the last couple of years I focused a lot of my work on consent and like that enthusiastic consent, being intentional with what's happening. And so I love that, the intentional combination of the two, of cannabis and sex. Because I do feel like any sort of, and here's where, again, I'm not good at certain terms, I'm not the most educated about this, anything that you're imbibing in that is altering your state, I feel like there's a lot of, oh, let's just go for it. Oh, let's just try this. Oh, let's do all the imbibing and drinking and smoking and all the things and then just go for whatever happens. There's not really a planned thing when it comes to let's do this and then plan out what might happen with some spontaneity, but also there's a loose plan, right? So I think that's really great.
Thank you.
I mean, did I feel like I
no, you nailed it. And like, okay. I love your work on consent. The consent guidebook is such a powerful piece.
Thanks.
Like, I think everyone should read it. And I was so grateful that you allowed me to quote you in my book.
Yay! Your upcoming book.
My upcoming book, which will be out in 2020.
Yay.
Because consent is such a crucial piece to this whole sex and cannabis work that I do.
Right.
Because what I was seeing, like, of the few people who were talking about sex and cannabis at all in the media,
mm-hmm.
it was very kind of Cosmo quiz-like
yep.
sex advice.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, very heteronormative,
yep.
very penetration-focused, very
mm-hmm.
orgasm-focused.
Right.
And nobody was talking about consent. And I was
right.
like, if you are choosing products that are going to alter your state, that are going to cause intoxication, we need to be having conversations about, I mean, we need to have conversations about consent always, but
yes.
like, especially when
absolutely
there are intoxicating substances in the mix. And so I really, part of the mindfulness also is being aware of what you want to create,
mm-hmm.
where your boundaries are, communicating those clearly to your partner so that everybody's on the same page so that you can play really well together in ways that feel good.
Absolutely. Well, and I feel like we're in, this is kind of one of the questions I wanted to ask you before, but this is a good segue. I feel like we're in a time where, you know, we're saying, you know, a cannabis is not federally legal. So, you know, we're in California where it's now recreationally legal. It was medicinally legal before, and now recreational, yay. So we have a lot more options here to kind of play with all these things, you know? Do you see a difference since it became recreationally legal? Is there a difference that you've noticed? And I don't even know what that means exactly. Just, is anything shifted for you with what you do with your niche since it's become legal?
Since it's become legal in more states, especially in California, I've certainly seen more open-mindedness,
mm-hmm.
more people who are trying it for the first time, who are like, oh, okay, it's not illegal now. And so I'm going to, like, give this a shot. People who are older generations are walking into dispensaries now, and there are delivery services. You can have it come right to your house. So, like, it's more, much more accessible now than it was before. You're also seeing billboards everywhere in Los Angeles and, like, California generally. I'm like, wow, there's cannabis on a billboard, and that's really cool. And we're even starting to shift the nomenclature, which is nice. You're hearing more people say cannabis than marijuana.
Yeah.
And that's great, because marijuana actually has a very fraught history with the terminology. And so there's a lot of racism buried in there. And I mean, in the entire war on drugs, like, cannabis is very much a social justice issue. As we well know, people of color are disproportionately targeted for cannabis offenses. The whole war on drugs
and still in jail right this second.
Oh
my gosh, I know. Overwhelming.
It's so much. And it's good that we keep talking about it, because we have to keep talking about it as long as folks are still in jail. Yeah. And now that, you know, folks are starting to get out of jail in California, there's some really cool things happening with social equity programs, where people with criminal records are able to be on licenses for cannabis businesses, which is great.
Like, interesting.
If your freedom was taken away by a plant, because the federal government and the police force and the judicial system are incredibly racist, you should absolutely be able to make money back now from that plant.
I didn't know that was a thing at play.
Oakland has been really one of the pioneers of that program in the state of California, but it is...
That feels like something good.
It is something good.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying seeing that. There's some really cool things happening with expungement programs and getting people out of jail. So, like, that's all good stuff. There are there's nonprofits like Cage Free Cannabis is doing some really good work with working with populations who are recently out of incarceration, training them with job skills, those kinds
Amazing.
Of things. So those opportunities are available and happening, and that's really exciting.
No, that's all great. I didn't realize, see, again, I'm so not well informed about this. I appreciate you bringing that up too, because I feel like in this interview, it could go the way of only talking about the fun aspects of the industry and stuff, but also that's a really important part of the industry too. You know, like it's not even making amends, but I guess making it right in terms of, like, cannabis and marijuana and the history of it into now it being this hugely profitable industry. But also, let's get back to, like, the individual benefits. So, like, I don't even know if I have this question on here, but I just off the top of my head, what are some benefits people experience from imbibing in the cannabis, specifically when it comes to intimate interactions or sex?
Great question. What I tell people is that cannabis can help address the things that get in the way of pleasure, connection, and intimacy. So what are the things that get in the way? Shame. Right? Getting stuck in your head, being stressed, feeling disconnected from your body, not feeling particularly creative or inspired in the bedroom, and pain. Pain is a super common thing that gets in the way of intimacy, because if it hurts, you don't want to do it. And what actually brought me to sex and cannabis to begin with is that, as a sexual assault survivor, I experienced pain with penetration for most of my adult life until I found Foria in 2014, which is a THC-infused oil that you spray on your pussy 25 minutes before sexy fun times. It's like a yummy intimacy marinade. And
I love it.
And, yeah, they call it weed lube, but it's really weed marinade.
I love
so
it.
Entertained by that.
It's a marinade. You gotta let it soak in there.
Yeah,
I
gotta soak in that.
Because THC is a vasodilator, and it also...
It's a what?
THC is a vasodilator, so it opens up capillaries and blood vessels to bring in more blood and oxygen to the area, which is also what happens in physiological arousal, is more blood flow goes to the area, you get swollen and warm and flushed and yummy, and so THC helps aid that process. It also decreases painful sensations while increasing pleasurable sensations.
Amazing.
So it completely alleviated my pain with penetration when nothing else, like, I'd gone to doctors, I'd tried dilators, I'd use lube, warm up.
Yeah.
One fucking doctor suggested lidocaine. I was like, oh my God, because I had tons of pelvic floor tension, which working with Courtney has actually helped me with a lot of that also. But, like, cannabis was the thing that put me on the path, and I was like, oh my God, I can have pain-free penetration. Fuck yes, I love sex. This is great.
Yeah, no, and I think there's a lot of, I mean, again, this is just, I feel like just being in the world as, you know, a female bodied person, like so many people experience pain or discomfort with any sort, with specifically penetration, but with so many things, you know? Mm-hmm. And so if there's something, there's like this thing that you focused on that you've studied and learned about is like the answer for a lot of people potentially, you know? And in reality, yeah.
Yeah, it really could be. And so the way that you figure out kind of how to do it for you, because people are like, what's the best strain for sex? What do I use? How do I do it? And I'm like, well, here's the thing. I can't like draw you a diagram exactly because everybody's different and everybody's looking for different things. And so if you're like, I'm stressed, I can't get out of my head, I need something that's going to get me into my body.
Yeah.
I can say, all right, well, here are some things you might want to look at. But really what I would suggest to you is to go to a dispensary and start smelling flower. Okay. Flower is the green bud plant stuff.
Yes.
The weed. Flower is the fancy term for it because it is actually the flower of the plant. Mm-hmm. And so different ones smell different based on what kinds of terpenes, which are the things in plants that make them smell a certain way. Mm-hmm. Lavender smells the way it does because of a terpene called linalool.
Oh, interesting. That's one of my favorite smells, by the way.
I love that smell. And you can actually find linalool in cannabis also. Ooh. As well as something called limonene, which is what it smells like when you cut into an orange.
Ooh.
So that citrusy scent. And so you can, like, based on your sense of smell, what smells good to you tends to work better with your body. Things that don't smell good to you tend to not work well with your body. And so I would say go to a dispensary, smell a couple things, bring a gram home, smoke a little bowl, just like a puff to start, you know. Start small. You can always add more. You cannot subtract. Start small.
Yes, that's true.
Wait. And then actually masturbate.
Yeah.
Like create space for yourself to masturbate so that you can figure out, this is how this hits me. This is what it does to my tactile sensations. Mm-hmm. This is what it does to my headspace. I feel really in my body and like turned on, or I feel distracted and like I just want to watch Netflix.
Yeah.
You know, and that's good to know. If it's a Netflix strain, probably not what you want to pick for date night.
It's like a Netflix strain, everybody. No, but I appreciate this so much because, like, you know, one of the reasons why my focus is more dating than sex is that even when you're talking about like take a strain home and try it and then masturbate and learn, there's still like residual feelings I have around like nervousness around you saying that. And I'm like, tee-hee, like, go try it home, tee-hee. Because I mean, like, literally, I just feel like, you know, we're so conditioned, especially in this country, to feel a certain way, whether that's a shameful feeling or a sheepish, like, shy feeling about it, or like certain things we're like not supposed to talk about. Like, this is why I love having people like you on the show, because it's like, oh my god, she's like not, like, she just says it.
That's what we need, a thing though. I do.
No, that's what we need. Like, we need, like, all of you who are here, I mean, all of you to, like, oh, I'm, like, weirdly emotional. Like, it helps me, like, do what I do to know that there's people who are doing this other thing that I can be inspired from and can learn from, who aren't, like, who are learning, but they're not ashamed. They're like, here's the deal, and here's things, and here's information that we all should have, but we don't have, you know? It's so great. I know, I've been, like, I don't know, maybe I'm, like, hormonal or something. I've been, like, really emotional in, like, all my interviews lately. I'm like,
Well, also, the new moon is tonight, and so everything's kind of flowing right now, but thank you. Like, that really means a lot to me.
No,
but I'm grateful to get to do this work, you know? And,
absolutely.
And that people let me talk about masturbation, because I've always been the awkward one my whole life, being like, so masturbation, though? And people are like, this is uncomfortable. And I'm like, no, I get paid for it. It's great.
That's amazing. No, it's amazing. I mean, do either of you have any, like, stories, or not even stories, but just, like, what were your experiences growing up around just in general, like, sexuality or bodies and learning about functionality and sex and stuff? I mean,
Actually, I'm really, really fortunate that I grew up in a family that's very open and inclusive. Like, it's like, I grew up in most of my life, my young life was actually in a very white part of California, like, up in the Northern California foothills, super, super white, and yet did not grow up with nearly such a strong attachment to a lot of, like, my parents love other cultures and all that stuff, so I'm like, and they're comfortable with their bodies, and, like, so I grew up very comfortable with sex and sexuality and a whole, like, rainbow of experiences and all these things. And so I'm glad that there are other people who are like, yeah, sex is totally cool to talk about. Like,
yeah,
I really enjoy talking about sex. It's pleasurable, and good God, we should have more pleasure in this life. Because really,
yeah,
if you're going to have a physical body and you're going to be in this world, I think physical pleasure should really be on the menu.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and we're human beings, and, you know, I feel like, anyway, yes. I'm gonna, please, tell us more.
What about you, Courtney?
Yeah, so I grew up in upstate New York, like, literally on the border of Canada. Very white, Anglo-Saxon, whatever you want to call it. It wasn't, I don't want to say I grew up in, like, a repressed household, but it just wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
Like, straight up was not discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Until, you know, going to college, high school, obviously. I would say, like, my sexual initiation, playing started pretty young, and it was, like, all fully fueled by, like, someone else can give me an orgasm. Like, that
yeah.
was, like, ooh! Like, I remember my boyfriend gave me my first orgasm in my adult life, and I was, like, oh my god, what just happened? What was that?
Yeah.
But then, I really realized and shifted my work around, like, how are you going to communicate what works if you don't know what works on yourself?
Yeah.
So I would say, like, masturbation and self-exploration is, that's key to knowing and communicating what you want and how to connect with someone in that way.
Absolutely. And so back to your initial recommendation
mm-hmm.
of smelling strains.
Mm-hmm.
At the weed store. That's not the... I mean, that's not the terrible... The weed store. That's terrible.
The weed store is fine. Dispensary.
Dispensary is the better term. Thank you. And smelling strains to see what smells good to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then taking it home and trying things out before you engage with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's, like, the most basic advice, but it's such good advice, and I feel like so many people don't. No, including myself. It's, you know, it's like, oh, well, like, Rev, we got the thing, and we're gonna do this together, and it's like, but what's it gonna do to you solo first, right? It's
well,
such good advice.
And
thank
taking
you.
That time for yourself, because, I mean, it's self-time, and especially female-bodied individuals are not encouraged to have that self-time and
mm-hmm.
self-pleasure, like, what? No. This was actually something I came to recently, was that a lot of times the feminine pleasure is expected to be offered to
mm-hmm.
the world, a man, something other than themselves. Like,
yes.
If you're having pleasure, it's only in the context of offering it to someone else.
Absolutely. Well said. It's
yeah,
so true.
Well
so
said.
True. It's like, but it's like one of those things that you don't even really think about
no.
sometimes.
Yes.
Like, I mean, I know you're right, and I absolutely, but I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that like that before.
So
it's always
yeah.
an offering to someone or something other than yourself.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Oh, geez, that's deep. Oh, boy.
how about this? So, because we're already out of time, because there's just way too much to talk about. They're very long-winded, and you guys are great. Are there any red flags or things to look out for with a new partner when engaging in an altering substance, specifically cannabis? I don't even know if that's a good question, to be honest. I'm like, is there anything that could be seen as something that you might want to look out for?
I would say the biggest thing to look out for is overconsumption.
Yeah.
People go too hard. They try to keep up with each other. Like, maybe one person has a really high tolerance and one person has a super low tolerance. Like, you don't have to keep up with the person with the higher tolerance just because they keep puffing on the joint and, like, passing
totally.
It to you.
Totally.
And, like, I literally just had this happen the other night with one of my lovers. I went over to his house and, like, no shade on him. Like, it was fine, but you get into a habit of passing because, like, that's what
totally.
You do. And I was like, no, I can't smoke and drive because I don't.
Yeah.
And, like, he's smoking the joint. And he keeps counting. I'm like, no, I'm good. No, I'm good. But, like, I had to have the, and I had to also not just mindlessly take it out of habit
totally.
Also.
Totally.
So being really careful with overconsumption and understanding that you don't have to get high at all
yeah.
to enjoy the benefits of cannabis on your sex life.
Explain.
Okay. So
I love this.
Things like Foria,
mm-hmm.
they're THC or CBD infused lubes, and THC is the one that is intoxicating. CBD on its own is not.
Right.
And when those are applied to your pussy,
mm-hmm.
they don't get you high, even if it's the THC version.
Interesting.
However,
uh-oh.
If your partner goes down on you after you have applied THC to your pussy, they could get high because your pussy is now an edible.
That's amazing. Amazing.
understand that there's a lot of ways that you can access it. You can use topicals on your shoulders. Like, if you're a dominant and you like flogging people, but you have a shoulder injury, mm-hmm. you can put a topical on your shoulder and give yourself more, like, stamina and, like, increase your range of motion so you don't fatigue as quickly. And then you can do a scene longer.
That's good. And then it's not impacting
your mental status, so you can still be a very responsible top.
Right.
And be paying attention to your bottom and what they need.
That's with the CBD specifically, not the THC.
THC you can also rub on and it still won't get you. If it's going through your skin, it's not getting you high, which means you can also take a bath in it and it won't get you high.
See, I didn't know that.
As long as it's not getting inhaled or swallowed.
Interesting.
It will not get you high.
Okay.
Wow. Transdermal patches are iffy. They can, but that's intentionally meant to pass through the skin barrier into the bloodstream.
Right. Oh my gosh, it's so interesting. I love it. Is there any other, wrapping it up, is there any other advice that you could add to someone, specifically somebody or people who are new to trying cannabis and or adding it into their sex life? They're new to that. Is there any advice, final advice?
Final advice is don't fall into the indica sativa trap.
Ooh, tell us.
People believe that sativas are buzzy and energetic and creative, and indica, like in the couch, I've heard that thousands of times, is sleepy and relaxing and whatever. This is complete hogwash. Like, literally has no basis in reality. It was leftover shorthand from the illegal market days when people were trying to explain effects by using a word. Mm. Yes, there is cannabis indica and cannabis sativa in the terms of botanical classifications. However, everything is so crossbred at this point and everything is hybridized that there is no true indicas and sativas anymore unless you're like in India or parts of Asia. Like, it just doesn't happen anymore. So don't fall into the trap of like, I only do sativas. Sativas are good for like, you know, hardcore bunny fucking sex, and indicas are good for like slow love makey sex. I fell into that mistake when I first started because I didn't know better. So
I think most
try it for yourself and see how it works. Don't rely on strain recommendations from other people. Don't rely on indica sativa designations. Like, define your own reality. Don't let someone else hand it to you.
No, that's really good advice. No, because I feel like there is a default thing people think about it, right? I mean, generally, I feel like that's what I hear. Okay, so that's all the time we have. Again, there's never enough time. Okay, so Ashley, first, tell us where people can find you and tell us all the things and tell us about this book if you can.
Yes. So I have a book coming out next year that I am working on with Mary Jane, which is Snoop's media company.
Amazing.
Which I'm very excited about. Wow. And you can find me on my website, canasexual.com. You can find me on Instagram at canasexual, Twitter at the canasexual. And I'm actually launching my own podcast, which is going to be called Elevated Intimacy. And I have online courses at Elevated Intimacy Academy.
Amazing.
So just visit elevatedintimacy.com if you want to hear all about that.
Excellent. Okay, ladies, please.
You can find, I'm Halsiana, and you can find more about what I've been up to at relationshiprejuvenation.com. On the socials, I'm Tralucent, which is T-R-A-L-U-C-E-N-T. Just about everywhere that you can find me.
Yay!
I'm Courtney, and you can find me on Instagram at Intimate Health Yoga, and my website is www.intimatehealthyoga.com.
Excellent! Thank you all for participating and joining, and Ashley, special thanks to you. Again, I feel like short interview, but I learned so much more than I knew before, which I didn't know a lot. But so, thank you for educating us all more about the amazing effects that cannabis can have on our sex lives.
My pleasure, and hopefully your pleasure.
Well said.
And now it's time for the Consent Corner. Tips, advice, and insights from my book, The Consent Guidebook. Chapter 7, Respecting and Validating the Boundaries of Others. Here are a few simple ways you can support someone's boundaries. Number 1, share your yes, no, maybe lists. Acknowledge that you hear, understand, and support the person's boundaries by saying, thank you for taking care of yourself. Number 2, check in regularly with your partner during intimate interactions to make sure they are comfortable. Have an open dialogue. Most issues occur when assumptions and generalizations are made. Number 3, recap and have conversations after your interactions to see if your impressions of how things went match your partner's experiences. Number four, ask for feedback. Is there anything you can specifically do better to support each other's boundaries going forward? The effort made here will show a partner that you are serious about wanting to make sure that they feel comfortable with you. That effort alone will make an individual feel more comfortable and might have the unintentional result of them wanting to spend more quality time with you in the future. The Consent Guidebook is available in paperback and ebook on Amazon, Google Books, iBook, and wherever ebooks are sold. For more info, go to theconsentguidebook.com.